Season 3 of Vol Club Confidential, brought to you by our great friends at Knoxville Smiles, is back on the air. I'm your host, Austin Price, and tonight's season debut show, we're going to look back at that national championship run with head coach Tony Vitello and the Baseball Vols before we get into football season a week from now with Darrell Sims. But before we do all that, we're going to bring in Hunter Bedour of the Vol Club. Hunter, an exciting time. Football season is just around the corner. But this has been like this nice stretch run. You got a little bit of a breather there in between the national championship at Omaha and now the start of football.
Exactly. Not much of a breather. And that's a good thing to be in everything school.
Sure.
Really don't have much downtime. But it's here. College football is right around the corner. And we could be more excited to get back to tailgates and engaging with our fans and ball club members.
All kinds of new stuff when it comes to the swag coming out this fall, too. Like a lot of new merchandise, a lot of new, you know, different things, whether it be T-shirts, hats, I mean, cups. I mean, it's just a lot of new memorabilia.
Absolutely. And in addition to that, we have launched our ball club app. It's the first of its kind. To our knowledge, no other NIL collective has something like this. And, you know, Austin, we're always looking for ways to re-engage with our members and bring value. And you can purchase some of our new products through the app. There's rewards, there's points, maybe even every once in a while a recruiting nugget or two. But we encourage everybody to download the app, and it's really probably the best way to receive updates in real time.
Yeah, and you follow us at VolQuest, you know, Eric Kane over at Locked On, Josh Pate with what he's doing with CBS. It's kind of a one-stop shop for just Vols coverage. You know, you can kind of go there and just kind of get a little bit of everything there at the Vol Club app. He's Hunter Bedour. Now for more on our great friends at Knoxville Smiles, let's take a listen to them.
I'm Tennessee basketball player J.P. Estrella. Let me give you a tour here of the offices at Knoxville Smiles. Dr. Costa is placing implants with a robot, and it's all done digitally. There's no guessing with this since it's all robotic. Dr. Wilco is the newest addition to the office. He loves to research the latest and greatest in technology, so the other doctors go to him for the newest product information and techniques. Dr. Malone is building teeth in the mouth. To him, cosmetic bonding is more like artwork. He does this without cutting your teeth down. It's all about building them up.
Guys, we still have a problem. Do y'all have a bigger chair?
What's up? How we doing?
Good, man. You?
Not too shabby. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, awesome.
Good to be here.
Normally, we'd be starting season three with football, as it's right around the corner, but so much has happened the last few months on the baseball front. How do we not start with you in Tennessee baseball?
Well, I'm excited to start season three, but I feel like I'm a part of the football program. I know Coach Heupel well enough, so we can help kick off that and all the other fall sports that are about to take over our campus.
Before we get going with kind of a recap of what was a magical run, how much do you kind of relish? I mean, you're front row at basketball games. You're down there hyping the crowd up at football games, you know, with your different outfits and stuff. Like, how much do you kind of enjoy that? It's kind of a nice break from your own sport.
No, the break is perfect because we haven't had one since the parade, which was phenomenal. And quite frankly, it was an energy boost. I think everyone was gassed by the time we got back to Knoxville, but
yeah.
We were obligated to go there. I kind of say that facetiously. And then you got there, and it was an adrenaline rush like you've never had before. But since then, we haven't really had a break, and those football games are a little bit of a breather for us, even though we have recruits on campus. The fall is a little bit easier pace. So I think that's when a lot of this will sink in and we'll be able to enjoy not just, again, all the fall sports on our campus, but the fact that we ended on a successful note.
You've had such a whirlwind with the portal and all that. Has it sunk in a little bit, though? Have you ever had that moment where you're just sitting there and you're like, man, we're ordering rings or, you know, something that just kind of clicked for you?
Not one thing that clicked and did so on a kind of a permanent or long-term basis, but a lot of little moments when you're driving in the car, you know, over to Nashville or Atlanta for recruiting, or on a flight, you're daydreaming or delayed on a flight, which is standard procedure these days. You know, just a lot of little moments, like some of them almost kind of panicky, like if we wouldn't have done this one thing right, or this wouldn't have gone well, this wouldn't have worked out. And then you bring yourself back to center and say it did work out. Or again, moments of kind of remembering elation or certain positives that happened, but you got to bring yourself back to center because this summer is so important to our future success and it's so busy You don't want to get distracted by getting too caught up in this stuff here.
Sure, I get it. Since you kind of went there, like Kevin Frazier and Trey Wingo do a fantastic kind of like what if podcast, like what if Kobe had went to the Bulls in the mid 2000s, you know, like what would have happened, like how you know, what legacy wise, all that. Was there a moment where like you were going to pinch hit a guy or pull a pitcher and you didn't, and you're like, man, I'm really, I mean, like if I had done that, like, can you think back with that much clarity and think about a moment where you didn't pull the trigger or did pull the trigger and it worked out?
Yeah, I think, you know, the biggest one that's hard to overshadow, especially in my mind, and I hate bringing it up because it kind of opens you up to more criticism than you want with pitching changes, because anytime you change pitchers, if it goes well on the scoreboard, you look smart. If it doesn't, you don't. Well, I remember there was one time we took Garrett Crochet out of a game in the ninth inning, and I still look back at that. I'm like, what the heck was I thinking, or were we thinking when we made that change? Well, we end up winning the game, but again, in the ninth inning, we took out Garrett Crochet, who's a major league all-star pitcher. But to my point, the one was after the eighth inning, Kirby comes in, and to be honest with you, had his first really successful outing against A&M. They had kind of taken good swings against him in Hoover and in Omaha. He gets two massive outs for us, celebrates like crazy.
Sure, yeah.
Do you want to send him back out there after he celebrated the way he did and it, you know, it hadn't gone as well, or do you want to give Combs the inning and give him the ball? And Combs had thrown 60 pitches the day prior. So if there was a camera on all of us in our dugout during that eighth inning decision, eighth to ninth inning bridge, it would have been a comedy special because it was a disaster. And eventually, Richard Jackson, who's, you know, moving on to bigger and better things in the business world, I give him the most credit. He just really was descriptive about how Combs was throwing the ball down in the bullpen, and that gave us the final confidence to let him start the ninth. And like a savvy veteran, he kind of knew what he could give up and what he couldn't give up, and he navigated through that very challenging inning the way that we wanted him to.
There's like two iconic like video moments for me in the last, I don't know, 15 years when it comes to Tennessee athletics. It's Alvin's touchdown at the Battle of Bristol, and he smiles, and he's got the silver grill in. And then it's Combs after he throws the wild pitch, and they pull within, you know, so close, and he just kind of grins, right? He's kind of got that like, yeah, you know, like, you know. When he does that, what are you thinking?
We got this game. There was about – you ask about moments, like if you would have done this, wouldn't have done that. I wish I would have been more prepared. I could slow my mind down because it's a good list of things. If, man, we pinch hit Peebles and he got on base, and if he wouldn't have got on base, Dreiling doesn't get that big hit. There was a lot of the players made us look smart, and then, you know, a lot of we didn't make this move and it kind of worked out. But with the Combs one, that's a moment where it was like we got this. And there was a moment where Liam Spence, our former shortstop, waved into our dugout before game three, and it was just like, that's a good vibe. That's good karma. He's here. There's a bunch of times that day where it gave you reason to relax, when if you really write it down on a piece of paper, your whole season comes down to one game. That's very rare for baseball because of double elimination. But that was the final moment of that good feeling of, if he's out there grinning and able to slow the moment down like that, then he'll finish the job. And it also, the one tangent I've gone on this summer talking about our team is just so well balanced. They were a wild bunch, but they were very mature. And Combsy's very intense, but he's also relaxed enough he can laugh at himself or carry on a proper conversation. Or with Cal Stark, the final pitch of the game, you know, they had an argument over what pitch he was going to throw. And Combsy had conviction in him that he wanted to go to the breaker. Cal kept going 1-1-1, and eventually breaking ball, strike three, and the rest is history. But a really well-balanced group of guys, therefore, a very well-balanced team.
Now, a few of these players have told me that, like, I won't say superstitious, but at the same time, like you'll look at things like if you take a path to the stadium on an away game and you win, you take the same path the next day. Or if you lose, you'll change it up to make the bus driver go a different direction. How much are you like that? Have you got rabbit's foot in the pocket? I mean,
no,
what we got?
No voodoo or anything like that. But I think a lot of these things, like, you know, taking a different route, are, it almost kind of feels like common sense to me. or maybe other people that have been involved in the sport. And then a lot of them too, you do without really realizing. And, you know, maybe a couple years into working here at University of Tennessee, it's a different role for me. You realize, well, I do this thing in the locker room every time, and I'm not really doing it consciously or on purpose, but it's a checklist, or, you know, one thing that brings me comfort, or, you know, go get a drink of water at this certain time. And the players pick up on it because they're watching you. And if anything, you saying that reinforces the idea. The players are the ones that are going to win or lose the game on the field. I wholeheartedly believe that. But they're watching their leadership and following their leadership. Kind of like if you cuss in front of your three-year-old son, he might use that word the next day.
Sure.
So it kind of brings to light that they're watching what we're doing. And I say that because we are so blessed with a group of support staff that they're just all arguably the best in the league. I hate to start that argument, but Q's the best strength coach in the league, and Frank's the best pitching coach in the league. And now people are realizing how good Coach Elander is at his job. And I could go on, and our academic coordinator, that's not even close. And so that makes life easier on me. It makes me look smarter, but it also puts our players in a position where they can be the very best version of themselves.
You told me when we were talking a few weeks ago that, like, Elander's one. He's like, you know, we're talking about getting Frank out here, and we've talked about it for a while for Ball Club Confidential. But you're like, Elander would be perfect for that too, because, I mean, he's eventually going to be a head coach sooner rather than later, and he's able to be a little bit more selective, you know, because of the stability here and you know, the fact, you know, you're able to get more money for the assistants and all that this past offseason. What is it about him that just kind of clicks and connects and gives you that kind of, you know, like, I don't have to worry about anything?
Sure. Well, it was when I coached him. I mean, he gave off that vibe. And you talk about Frank, you know, he's a tough cookie to crack. So if you were able to get him in this setting, once you cracked it, it would, the knowledge and the humor would come out in the good conversation like no other. But he's old school, and he's kind of been through it. And his favorite thing he likes to do is just have a relationship with the players, especially the pitchers. Josh is different. In order to get him in a setting like this, you got to kind of crack his shell of loyalty. He is so loyal to a fault to myself and the rest of the staff, in part because we gave him his first opportunity. Kind of like I feel a sense of loyalty to Tennessee for the first head coaching opportunity. But he has shown that loyalty rather than saying thank you. He has literally tried to gobble up as much responsibility as possible to take it off our shoulders and do it to a point where he never has to say thank you, because we can see it in that work. And his number one attribute, in my opinion, is his relationships with the people that he has to work with in recruiting. They all know how hard he works at those relationships and scouting players so that we get talent here. But then also with the hitters in the cages, there's a closeness there that's, to be honest with you, it makes me jealous. I mean, the relationship he has with a guy like Jordan Beck or Blake Burke, I'm very close with those kids, but it'll never even be to the halfway point of how close he is with those guys.
It's because you're the head coach.
Yeah, you got to ride out the lineup. You got to be the bad guy every now and then.
That's right. That's so, how it is in any sport. I mean, you're always going to be closer with the – if you're the linebacker, you're going to be closer with the linebacker's coach than you are the head coach in most instances. I mean, sure. You know, most of the time. For you, when you went out, you've been Mr. Autograph, Mr. Picture, all that. You know, I've seen 1,000 of them on my Facebook of somebody saying you had, you know, McGee Tyson or this or that. What's the oddest place that, you know, you've been approached? I mean, maybe overall, but even since the national championship.
Yeah, overall was in Brazil, which is, that's a long way away. But it wasn't a Brazilian native. It was a, you know, somebody from Florida that was vacationing. So, but it was kind of funny at the time. You know, since then, I think it is just the random airports, and it might be someone was on the flight from Georgia, which we have a huge alum base, you know, someone flying out of Tyson McGee. But those airport either recognitions or sitting next to somebody are rough, because our video coordinator talked about this. If we've got travel, we kind of plug that into our – so you sleep 2 or 3 less hours and get more work done.
Yeah.
Because you're going to sleep on the plane. So usually I have the same outfit on, the same hat. I sleep on the plane. So therefore, I need 10, 15 minutes to wake up when I get off the plane. Getting onto the plane, I'm being – you know, it's been hectic, and I'm kind of a hot mess getting there. So, Yeah, the airport run-ins, I guess I'm putting out an advertisement. Cut me a little slack with those. But it is awesome to go anywhere in the world or even just our airport and be greeted with people that, you know, really enjoy what our guys are doing on the field.
How much do you get from fans? Coach, I'd like to see this. Like, you know what I mean? Like, everybody loves to coach.
Now, are you referring to not Tony Basilio or other
people? Just anybody.
Because, you know, on the radio or things like that, there's always the suggestion box is certainly open.
Open, yeah.
But I'm saying this in all sincerity, and it's one of the things that has drawn us to closer to our fan base and kept us, if I could just be blunt, kept us here at University of Tennessee, is our fans are different than other SEC fans, at least for baseball. I don't mean to speak for – I know the watchful eyes on football can be very critical. I sit next to these fans and they're, why do we call this play? And, like, we just did. So, you know, roll with it. You know, we're wearing orange, they're wearing orange. But my point I'm beating around the bush is our fans are so positive compared to some of the other fan bases in our league. And I'm not saying, you know, anyone's doing anything wrong anywhere else, but you feel it. And they're behind us. And I hope that never changes. I realize now it's when can you win another national championship, or I got my tickets to Omaha already. And it's like, hang on.
Come on, it's, hotel reservations.
Yeah, it's very difficult. But when people approach, the positivity is interesting, and we appreciate that, and we hope to reciprocate it. And, again, I hope it doesn't change.
How many times did you get this past season? And maybe people aren't as normally people aren't as blunt to someone's face as they are, like, behind the keyboard.
Right.
Why do you bring Causey in after one out? Because that was the common theme, I think, from fans. Like, I don't understand that part. Like, it's just how they did it. Like,
it's how we did it, and it worked. And there was also times, why did you take Stom out?
Yeah.
You know? And there was times where, why are you taking Beam out? He's your guy. And there was also the other where, you know, Chris Burke, I think, is as knowledgeable of a baseball guy as there is in the country. And he complimented one time we left Beam in. You know, where, again, if you're at home throwing your remote at the TV, you might have argued we left them out there too long. So, again, I fall back on the thing. You know, I just got to meet Vince Vaughn a couple nights ago at a premiere, and I could not have messed up that meeting any worse. It was terrible. I fumbled. I'd love to go back in time and redo it. That's a situation where you can either do it well or not. In a game or a competitive environment, a UFC fight or a football game or a soccer game, it's chaos. It's competitive. And there's a lot of crazy things that are going to go on that makes it fun as a fan because you can analyze all of
them.
But what you're trying to do is you're analyzing literally combat. And, you know, things are going to go wrong, things are going to go right, and you really sometimes don't have rhyme or reason. You just, at the end of the day, you want to compete the appropriate way you've been preparing to do so. And you would like the outcome a higher percentage of the time than not to show that you're doing it well. And so while it was cool we won a national championship, maybe I'll change my mind when I'm older, but I will stand by this. Since COVID, we've won more games than any team in the country. And I take more pride in that than winning one game against Texas A&M because it's a constant grind and we have a bigger sample size. Our sport has more statistics or sample size than anybody because we play so many games. And to have that success over that amount of time, I take greater pride in that whole body of work as opposed to winning one tournament. Again, I may change my mind. I know you're going to argue.
I was going to say, I'm still fast. You're all I hear is blah, blah, blah. I'm thinking about the Tennessee fans creating the meme or gif of you with Vince Vaughn from Wedding Crashers where they put your head on Owen Wilson and he's like, you old sailor, you.
I would like that combo. I'll tell you what, that guy is literally super. He's super nice. And my buddy is in his new show that actually debuts tonight on Apple TV, but not to throw a commercial out there. But those little witty comments he makes in the movies,
yeah.
I witnessed him do that with a bunch of different people.
It's all ad-lib.
Just like that. I mean, he's got to have one of the quicker minds than anybody in the country.
So I'm pretty sure you do that in the dugout. Like when you're doing those in-game interviews.
Yeah, that's pure adrenaline. But also, you know.
Mike Honcho.
Yeah, part of that is guys like him and Will Ferrell literally changed culture with the way people think and the way they joke. And I'm for some of those old comedies coming back.
Yeah, I agree with that. Look back at one game before we take a break to promote Knoxville Smiles. What's the one game you look back on from the season that you just smile about, and why?
You know, that's a tough one. I think one that stands out in my head was the Super Regional game on Sunday. Was a great moment for our guys to feel fear, to feel tension, the weight of the world, and there was none of that. You could feel it when you showed up. And part of it, I think, was guys like Ensley, Burke, Moore, Kirby. They've already been in that situation multiple times.
Yeah.
Against Southern Miss, against Notre Dame, the year prior as well. You know, we were in a super at least. There was none of that. And then the explosiveness that was in that stadium and out of our offense. And then ultimately the cappers were the standing O for Xander and the standing O for Kirby were beautiful. And I've never been on the mound and taken the ball from a guy and he hugged me. Xander, you know, was quick to do that because he's got so much love in his heart. I'm like, dude, right now we're winning. If we have more games, so you're making this like it's the final thing. It's bad karma. But then he made me, if you watch, I hug Kirby. I was the instigator there, and Kirby kind of was me, where he's like, what are you doing right here? But regardless, those two guys coming off the mound the way they did and the way our guys handled that situation was pretty awesome.
We'll touch on more about Kirby and Xander in a moment, but first, our great friends at Knoxville Smiles.
Knoxville Smiles, depending on us to make your smile better. Knoxville Smiles, are you happy with your smile today? Knoxville Smiles, we're all about smiles.
Hey Lance, what makes you smile?
Pancake blocks.
New this year on Vol Club Confidential, we'll take questions from the Volunteer Club app. Send in those videos, get those questions in. First, we have a question from a young man to Coach Vitello.
Hey Coach Vitello, my name is Cooper Bateman, and I live in Jackson, Tennessee. I was just wondering what your favorite uniform combination is. Mine is the black jerseys and the white pants that y'all wore in the College World Series. Go Vols!
Cooper's got a future there on TV, but he also looks like an athlete that might be a future recruit of ours. He's from Jackson, where we'll go back there this fall and play a fall game in front of, you know, it might be our best crowd again. A couple years ago, it certainly was. But, yeah, best uni combo's a little bit jaded because the black and white has kind of been the favorite of a lot of people. And then when you win, you know, the final game in that uni, it's hard to get away from that. But baseball is a tradition-based sport. There's a lot of rich history, and cream kind of has that flavor. And then Sunday is such an important day, as we, you know, talked about. Our guys wanted to wear black that day against Evansville, but a lot of times an SEC series or how you're going to end the week comes down to Sunday. So that cream has got a couple symbolic meanings for me.
Yeah, Burke told us that's the heaviest uniform you all wear, though. So, like, you know,
yeah.
When it gets warm outside, the Sunday creams are – not desirable.
It is, and fortunately, Nike has kind of boosted our deal a little bit. So we've got the new, more modern material coming in that uni and some others,
okay,
too.
Okay, so it'll be better.
And the one thing that was a tough decision was what to do with the black tops that we wore this year. And we're going to retire those. And so you're first to hear that, including all of our players don't know. But we'll retire those, and we'll see what we do with them, and if some of the guys can maybe – take one of those home with them.
But black will still be in play, just that particular version.
Still be in play for sure, and we'll just kind of get a copycat of the uni for this coming spring.
You talked about the send-off that the fans gave Xander and gave Kirby. As a coach, are you cognizant of that? Like, 'cause, I mean, it'd be easy to, you know, not stick them back out there, but
sure.
You stick them back out there at least for a pitch just to, you know, to get the curtain call, so to speak.
To be honest, there's moments of conviction, and again, I get it on TV when you're watching pitching changes. It's the game's slower for you. You don't have repercussions. You maybe don't know all the scoop. But with the Xander one, it was tough. Even though we had a decent score going, is do we send him back out or not? And we were leaning towards sending him back out, and he saw us talking. And he came over and said, with all due respect – which normally that precedes, you know, we could go back to Will Ferrell or Vince Vaughn, but with all due respect, this is something what I want to do. I want to go back out there and I want to walk off that mound.
Yeah, you can come get me.
Yeah. And so he gets the first hitter out, and everyone's looking at each other like, is it time? And he's looking at us. And if you rewatch that game, there's an awkward moment in there where, well, you did that pretty easily. Maybe we'll give you one more and then we'll bring in somebody to get the last out. But he was ready to go. And so it's kind of funny how that was a combo effort, but he earned that right, no question. And then with Kirby, it was a stressor because we had the lead. His role wasn't really up, but you want to preserve him because he's so valuable. And then eventually it was the heck with this. We got to get him out there. And, you know, you got to get – he didn't know the situation. You got to get the guy out. And, yeah. And he got his first hitter out. And you have to be cognizant of the crowd because the volume – you know, when you watch on TV at Lindsey Nelson, for whatever reason, it doesn't do it justice. That was the loudest I've heard a crowd, you know, including Drew Gilbert's home run was Kirby walking off that mound.
Kirby, I've always tell him, I joke with him, I said, you are Steve the Pirate from Dodgeball. Because now the thing is, he's not going to be leaving because he's staying on your staff, which changes my theory a little bit. But like I've always said, years from now, you're going to come back, you're going to have short hair, you're not going to have the mustache. Like you're just going to look normal and people are going to go, Steve the Pirate?
Right.
Like, Kirby? You know? Like, I mean, like it's going to be different because I mean, his whole get up is just so iconic.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just from the mullet to the stash to just everything. And the guy is like really selfless. Like, I mean, he's out there doing everything, catching the first pitch, mm-hmm. running to, you know, get the, you know, the mitts from the runners, whatever. I mean, the guy just does a little bit of everything.
He's a jack of all trades, literally, and was that for us on the mound. And he does look like pirate jack of all the trades, but even this summer when he cut his hair just a little bit in the back, it was kind of shocking seeing him. So, but the regardless of, you know, the mustache is iconic and his appearance and things like that, what is iconic is what you hit on is just how selfless he is and what he means to this community. And I know Peyton Manning is Peyton Manning, and we could go on down the list. I don't know how you prioritize who fits in where, but he's got to go down as one of the most involved in the community and best reps of all athletics that the university's literally ever had.
No doubt about it. For this, you know, team, you have so many people leaving, right? I mean, mm-hmm. they're gone. I mean, Christian Moore is doing big things already, which I know does not surprise you in the least. You go out and throw the first pitch when they're down in, when the Trash Pandas are down in Chattanooga. It wasn't quite George W. Bush's pitch from the from no. the World Series.
No. He's got a better arm than I do, and he hadn't thrown as much BP. My arm is absolutely thrashed, but it was good to be down there. Chattanooga's done a lot for us,
sure.
The fans, but also what we've played in that stadium, and then wanted to be there for SEMO was pretty cool. And Frank had a couple relationships he was connecting with there, guys he's coached. So that was special, but it's also a reminder of how are we going to replace these guys, and you're not. And I remember having a team meeting with the 22 team of – Fergie and Liam are gone and you know, other guys on that team that were big personalities. And well, they weren't Fergie and Liam until that 21 season when we made it to Omaha. And then Cortland Lawson, I knew who he was and I loved him and we had a close relationship and he was a good player, but no one else outside of our program knew who he was until the 22 season really. And next thing you know, he's starting shortstop and a powerful hitter for us and on arguably one of the best teams of all time. So who that next guy is, we may know a little bit about him or we may not know anything about him, but the opportunity is there for those guys to rise.
Obviously some success in the portal, but of the guys that are returning that were on this team, who has the capability to be that Trey Lipscomb guy that goes from kind of nowhere to somewhere over the course of an offseason?
You know, that's an interesting one because a lot of guys I think will be involved, at least contributed, Bargo, Reese Chapman, Peebles. But a guy that I think – I wouldn't want to put that on him, the Trey Lipscomb thing, that I think is a really gifted player is Alex Perry. He just couldn't stay healthy last year. He's really physical. He likes to play. He slows the game down like Trey did. He's going to have an opportunity to lock down a spot every day for us. And he could be a real pleasant surprise out there on the field for Vol fans if that's the case. But, again, for Trey to do what he did was, I mean, in my opinion, he was the best player in the league that year. And we had guys like Sonny DeShera and Dylan Cruz. And so, and we had a great team. So I don't know if that one will ever reoccur, but,
sure.
But that's kind of a guy to keep an eye on.
There's something about, you know, just a couple of guys on this team that just, the you know, like a guy like Drew Beam – I thought it was great the way he performed in Omaha, because if you go back there, those last couple of outings at home, I thought he, you know, everybody's like, oh, Drew Beam's not Drew Beam. And I'm like, both outings, he literally sat on the bench for like 45 minutes because we scored like, you know, like 15 runs, which I know I'm embellishing a few, but like we were hitting forever, right? And then that changed, to me, like how a pitcher comes back in, like that big long layoff. Is that fair?
Yeah, no, I think that's tough on the pitcher, certainly. And it's, you know, a deal with the other team's offense too. So there's a lot of factors. There's an ebb and flow to each game, excuse me. And what you're looking for out of your starter is to get you into the fifth inning and give your team a chance to win. And again, I hate to get dramatic, but I'd like to check the record books and see if anyone has done that better than Drew did, anybody, for 3 years. Obviously, Helton with the saves and R.A. Dickey starting and things like that. But the other thing I'd point to is Drew Beam's record. Our team record when he pitches is insane. That needs to be posted in a lot of places because his record itself is really strong. But again, if you look at our win-loss record and games that he throws in, it's phenomenal.
Yeah, because sometimes he wouldn't get the win, even though y'all were up 12-2, because he didn't pitch quote enough the rule where you have to pitch X amount of innings. Was it five?
Right. And then if you want to take it a step further and break down, how many times did he, you know, did he leave the game with us either winning or at tied or within whatever criteria you want to throw out there? It really shows you the value. And then if you take a step back again with the Kirby example, the true value is within the character. And you're talking about a guy. We actually went strategy with A.J. Russell Friday. You know, Xander was Sunday, and Beam was supposed to be the rock in the middle. It was kind of more just the best overall plan, but everybody sees Friday night as kind of the cool thing. And Drew Beam congratulates A.J. Russell instead of – I'm telling you, on 99% of the campuses in the country, a Team USA guy, two-year starter, he's going to see that as disrespect and be upset and be bitter. Not only was he not those things, he took it a step further and made A.J. Russell a better player and teammate by saying, go get him and congratulations to you.
Interesting. Again, family. You know, his mom and dad are good people and kind of brought up the right way, and obviously his sisters.
100%.
Special to him. When you look towards, you know, this football season, are you going to be a visitor to any of these road games? Are you big on road games for football season?
Maybe,
we all see it in Neyland, but I mean,
you know, it's tough because we have practice and some donors have helped me out, you know, go to Georgia and things like that. I've been to a couple, but it's going to be very difficult. The Oklahoma game's a possibility because we don't have a scrimmage that weekend, but there's all kinds of chaos with Morgan coming into town. So it would probably be that one or not at all. You know, I've been able to go to the bowl games, but we're in the middle of fall baseball, and again, you hate to miss practice, and Saturday's a big one for us.
You're speaking of Morgan. You speak about Morgan. We've seen these videos where, like, Mike Tyson and Tom Brady are, like, accompanying him out. Is that going to be you and Peyton Manning? Are y'all going to be leading him out and he's going to have some type of jersey on? And
there's potential. Nothing's been firmed up. But I got to tell you, I lose interest in being that guy when you're Tom Brady and Mike Tyson. That's not exactly an equal comparison. So, but we're down to do whatever. I know everyone's just fired up. I'm glad it finally worked out. You know, construction was a little bit of an obstacle for an event like that. And, you know, Tennessee people are welcoming and friendly to everybody, but they're especially that way to people that are their own. And you're talking about a guy that grew up not far from our own baseball stadium and the football stadium. So for him to perform like that, it's going to be an epic day. And obviously there's 2 days, so a lot of people will be able to enjoy it.
All right. Before we go to get you out of here, new on the show this year, we're not doing Jordan LeBron anymore. Retired that question. I want you to pull your phone out. I want you to call the one person you know has your back, will always answer when you call.
All righty. I can do that. What if he doesn't answer?
Well, then we might give you a lifeline and give you a second option, but I'm betting this person answers. And you got to put it on speaker. We got to hear it. Who are we calling here?
You want to know now?
No.
Well, he might answer, and we might have to edit what he says. We're calling our video coordinator, Sean McCann. He's my mentor, and people don't realize that. And he also is the one that initiated our relationship with Frank Anderson. And he's our video guy, and he works with technology, so for him to not answer is...
Oh, for one.
He'll end up calling right back. Now, we will try, though. The reason I didn't call my real guy, who I go to with, I don't go to a shrink, I go to my buddy, is a former teammate, but he's a family man.
What's up, man?
Coach Cassis, we're going to ask you to not cuss right now because you're on a podcast with me, my friend. How many years do you think we played and roomed together as coaches total?
As coaches.
Well, and we roomed together as players a little bit too, right?
Yeah.
So.
8 years. 9 years.
Okay, awesome. If you wanted to give up dirt on me, how many hours do you think you could fill of a podcast? Since I basically throw all my mental trash on you, but I was supposed to call somebody that's always got my back, and I called Sean McCann, my mentor, but he's probably busy with Frank. So, who I really would have called is you, and hopefully that's a compliment to you. But it started with, you know, I didn't make the travel list when I was playing at Missouri to Pepperdine. That was the first trip, and it was to Malibu.
And the other Tokyo
Which
pledge.
I think everybody – and we had to practice inside because it's freezing in Columbia, Missouri. And Ryan Stiegel and Luke Cassis, who we're talking to now, said, we really think it's BS you didn't make the travel list. You work your butt off, yeah. And that was the biggest pick-me-up I can ever remember as a player there, and it kept me going. So this turned into a thank-you call, Luke.
Luke, if you really cared, Luke, if you really cared about Tony, you would have went into the coach like they did in Rudy and just put your jersey down and said you weren't going.
I think
we're so old that movie hadn't come out yet. So, all right, we'll let you go. We don't want to talk about Chicago sports with you. We're going to call Vince Vaughn. We know him now, so you've kind of gone down the priority list on Chicago.
Shoot.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
see you, brother.
See ya.
That's fantastic. All right, we'll get you out of here on this one. Over the next 300 days, what are we trying to accomplish? I mean, I know the goal is to go back-to-back, but, I mean, that's such a hard deal.
Yeah.
How do you just get this new group, which is going to be so many new faces, to jail? What's the key to getting them to buy into jail?
I think I'm doing this off the cuff, but now that you say it, I think to all get on board with a common theme. And, you know, one common theme last year was the guys, they were frustrated with how long it took for us to get that Vol baseball chemistry. And they made it a point to start in August, not even September. Because we don't really get rolling. It's tough to pick up momentum until after Labor Day. But that team chemistry was a theme, and it ended up being our biggest strength. And I think with this year's group, it needs to continue with that. But also, what's kind of the theme of our group? Because we won last year. So are we riding off the coattails of that and still celebrating? Are you trying to put pressure on yourself to repeat? To me, it doesn't need to be any of those things. It needs to be an appropriate theme for us to come together as quick as possible as a team, and also to find some inner locker room motivation for what's our chip on our shoulder this year. Because that's been our MO since we've been here. Some people don't like it. Some people do. But they weren't there with us in 2018 when we were getting our brains kicked in by people and getting it rubbed in our noses pretty good too. There wasn't a lot on Twitter about that. And there's no memory bank that social media has of that. But we have it still in our heads, and people were upset. In our locker room and in our team meetings, and it became a theme of we're going to have to stand up for ourselves, and that's going to mean maybe we bully people a little bit, or at least attempt to. And, you know, that chip on our shoulder needs to remain, but it's going to have a different flavor because, like you said, it's a lot of new guys, and it's a year after some success. So formulating that over the next 2 months is probably what's in front of us, and I think that'll speak to what comes the next 250 days or so.
Well, I'll tell you what, we could go with the Vince Vaughn theme. We could go, the theme could be old school. It could be Omaha Crashers. It won't be the breakup, though. This guy is not going anywhere anytime soon. No. Tony, man, we appreciate the time, and good luck this fall as a fan for football and eventually into winter basketball and then next season.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Appreciate you coming in, man. Be careful, okay?
You bet. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate you.